They have a wonderful principle in the 19th, 20th verses. And Jesus said, in secret have I said nothing. Nobody else can say that to Jesus. It proves who he is. In secret have I said nothing.
They obviously knew the words of the Lord Jesus. That's why they sought to take him. They didn't believe the words, but they knew what he was saying.
He did say in secret have I said nothing, and neither anything good. He didn't hide anything from them. He answered them in such a way that he lets them know that he had never hidden what he was saying as his doctrine. He spoke openly. And his words have been preserved for us. And now Jesus said, why askest thou me, verse 21? Ask them which heard me. What I've said unto them, behold, they know what I've said. They're ready to persecute Jesus at the least little bit they could find against him. But it didn't bother him. Jesus answered 23 after they'd struck him with the palm of the hand. If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. Well, why smartest thou me? In an orderly court, they wouldn't say that against him. After once was stated, they would accept what he said, but this is not an ordinary court. This is a biased court where they determined to slay him regardless of what he says or does. Annas had nothing to do with this. He was not the high priest. Caiaphas was. In the 14th verse, he speaks of Caiaphas. And now he said the high priest then asked Jesus. So we have a confusion here because they both take the place of high priest. And we referred to Luke 3, I think it was, where Annas and Caiaphas being high priest that year, the Lord spoke unto John. You couldn't use either one of them because they're out of order. So they're out of order here. Annas has nothing to do with it. He has no authority. He belongs to the high priest. He acknowledged in the verse 24 that Caiaphas was the high priest.
They also had back in verse 14 what Caiaphas' feelings were. How Caiaphas was he who gave counsel to the Jews. That it was expedient that one man should go to the Jews.
Yeah. And that was a forced prophecy. It didn't come from him. He's speaking out of himself. But the Spirit of God is causing him to take the place of a priest who gives the Urim and Thummim. That is, he determines the guilt of the person. At least he sentences him as the high priest. That's what he was going to do. It's the high priest that sentences the man to death. And he's the one that sentences Jesus to death. But he was under the power of the Spirit of God so that he might make that announcement. The gathered children of God were scattered. The one. That's the church. What verse are you referring to? The 11th chapter? 12. Now what we're referring to is chapter 11, 49 through 52. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest. The same year, seven of them, you know nothing at all. Now he's speaking as under control of the Spirit here. He's not a believer, but the Spirit is taking control of him. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this speaking out of himself, being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that he's also gathered together in one, that's the church, the children of God that were scattered abroad. The result was they took thousands put him to death. But now we go back to Peter again for a moment. Simon Peter. Heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here we have a lesson for each one of us. There's no way that you and I can stand up to Christ ourselves. No possible way. Unless we're in prayer, dependence on the Lord for doing just what Peter did. You might think you can, but when we're tested, Peter had no thought of denying the Lord. But the flesh was weak, so he denied it. He was living in Peter, not in the Lord. Prayer is the power in a Christian's life. And of course, all the disciples did the same. They all forsook him and fled to them. But we have to remember that the Spirit yet hadn't come down. That's Pentecost, that's later. So that Peter didn't have the indwelling Spirit. However, he was responsible. He denied it and said, I am not. Now we're getting pretty close to evidence that he did. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, that's the high priest's kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off. We've been made reading those chapters of ministry that he spoke about as open room ministry. It could be open. It could be open in the sense that a special line of heavenly blessing, looking forward. But it also was in a place called the open room. Now they've gone across in that open room, and they've gone to see God. That's the river, the little brook or river that David crossed when he was rejected. The Lord takes the same path that David did, who was the type of the Lord. And on the other side is a garden when they crossed the river. And this is where Jesus often found with his disciples. Judas was there with him too. It's called Kidron in the Old Testament, but it's the same river. It starts with K, starts with C. We notice in the Gospel of John that the Lord Jesus is always in command. He has to go through this. He has to be taken and slain. But in the same time, he was in command. You notice that, as you read a little later in the chapter where they were trying, he said, when you asked him the question, he, 21st verse, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I've said to them, behold, they know what I said. And he had thus spoken, one of the officers who stood by struck him upon his hand, saying, answered thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of evil. If well, why smilest thou me? Jesus was in control, although he knew that he had to go through this. But still, he maintained his dignity. In the fourth verse of the reading, Jesus, therefore knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Here again, he is in control. He went forth.
When you speak of him being in control here, make us think of the verses that we have in Hebrews that speaks of the Lord Jesus as being the author, the finisher, and also one place being the captain of our salvation.
That's right.
That would be what we would have here.
Yeah. Ordinarily, one who's to be taken wouldn't say, whom seek you? He's in command of it. He's going to give his life. They're not going to take it from him. He's going to give his life. It appears that they're taking it from him. Actually, he's giving his life. Now, that really reads, I am with the he left out. That's been inserted. It's a great I am which stands, you know, because in a moment or two you see all falling to the ground in his presence. Verse 6. Jesus stood with them also, and as soon as he had said unto their mind, he, they went backward and fell to the ground. But you see, they were blind. They couldn't see that this was the very God who created them. I am, the great I am. The Jews knew something of this because when Moses was told by the Lord to go to Israel or to Pharaoh to release Israel, if the people say, who are you, or who has sent you, he says, to tell them, I am that I am, the great I am. And here he is now, the great I am, but in the path to accomplish a work that no one else could do, that he can do to save our souls. The seventh verse also shows us that he's in command. Then he asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He didn't dare take his disciples. He was in control. There's no reason for the disciples to be taken. He was the one who was doing the work. And these go their way. This is a quotation from the last chapter, I believe, 9th verse. Saying, might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou hast given me, have lost none. That's what he said to the Father in the 17th chapter. We have the other, in other places, the fact that someone cut off the high priest's servant's ear. But only in John do we find out who it was. Peter and John, if you can put it this way, are the closest friends. You'll find them in the book of Acts ministering together. They were close, always close. But John tells on Peter. He tells that Peter was the one who had cut off the servant's ear. I don't know why Peter was carrying a sword, but he was. It makes us think of ourselves sometimes that we just can't trust the Lord. We have to just make some provision of our own. You know, if one can't trust the Lord, it's because he doesn't know him. He might say he knows him. If he knew him, he knew that he wouldn't need a sword. The Lord's power was sufficient to keep him. See, he let these go their way. That was a command. He's in control. And so he is with us continuously. I don't see here the other part which says that Jesus healed the ear. Maybe I don't see it. But he did immediately heal the ear. That which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter, I have to go through this. My Father's told me to go through it. I'm going to go through it. But you saw it away. We've spoken more than once of the prophecy of Caiaphas in the 11th chapter of John, I believe. Referred to here, stated that one should die for the people. He's speaking out of himself. He's moved by the Spirit to the last of Urim and Thummim. That is the high priest who has the right to carry out instructions for the people in the Word of God. He has the right to make decisions. And he made them here. He decided that Jesus should be slain. He didn't know that he was prophesying of the church at the time. That the children of God might be, that are scattered abroad. The children of God may be one who are scattered abroad. As part of his prophets. That's the church. Children of God are scattered abroad. The Jewish at first and later the Gentiles. We see Peter and John together again, the 14th verse. John isn't mentioned, but he's the one who, is known unto the high priest. Went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. He was known. He was, I understand, related to the high priest.
Caiaphas was one of those, wasn't he, that you've often spoken of that had this place of responsibility. And so they have an added responsibility before God to teach when they're in a teaching position to teach what's correct.
Yeah. It
says here he gave counsel for the Jews.
Yeah. But he didn't from his own heart. He did it because the Spirit of God forced him to it. Well, they bound Jesus. They never tried to get away, but they bound him just the same. Now they're leading to Annas first, that is, father-in-law, Caiaphas. Annas was the priest before Caiaphas, but he's no longer the high priest. He was a high priest, but not the high priest that had that place. He had finished his tenure. And now his son takes up place. So they both see Jesus. All this time the Lord was putting Peter through a lesson here at Little did Peter know that he was being put through a lesson. Because on the day of Pentecost, he was prepared. He told the Jews, he'd slain the Lord. He was prepared. He was fearless. He wasn't fearless here. He was full of fear. It's been said that Peter had a private talk with Jesus on the day of resurrection. No doubt the Lord came to him, and Peter was restored in his soul, personally. When we get the last chapter, we'll see that he's restored. But in that last chapter of John, he's restored before the other disciples. This was necessary. For a disciple had gone astray, he was to be restored before the other disciples. But he was restored personally with the Lord first. But this occasion, Peter stood at the door without, and without that other disciple, which was known in the high priest, faith unto her that kept the door, volume 2. Now she tests Peter, if the damsel who kept the door and the Peter. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. That's just what he said he wouldn't do, but he'd rather die with him and leave him rejected. So we have this work of the Lord with Peter's soul interspersed in the trial here. When we go back to the 19th verse, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine. So the Lord answered, spake openly. If you want to know, why ask me? If somebody heard me. Someday that officer is going to be sorry that he struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Well, he is already sorry. He knows now. Peter was impulsive. I guess he acted before he realized what he was saying sometimes. John was different. John was slow and thought things out more. And it was because, no doubt, that he lay on Jesus' bosom, that he was closer to the Lord to have his mind than he said. I think Mr. Bellet has said, commenting on it, he asked the question, are you afraid to lie on Jesus' bosom? In other words, John was doing what the ordinary believer should be doing in the place of dearness to the Lord Jesus. We don't go astray if we do that. We're not so apt to, I should say.
Verse 25, we have Simon Peter at the fire warming himself. And I was thinking how sometimes in this world we can get ourselves into situations and that in that of themselves, there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe it's supplying a need, but because of who we're with, it can be a problem. Peter, by association here, there's nothing wrong with people at that time.
Yes, it's our friends and our habits that ruin us. You get that in the Gospel of Matthew, if I can think of the place. It's a very important thing that you brought out, 20, I think, Matthew 20, or 22. It's Matthew 22, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Then he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to marriage. But they made light of it, went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Now, in another gospel, it says that he bought some oxen, he went to prove them, and he bought a farm, he wants to go see it. All foolish answers. It may be Luke that I'm referring to, but another to his merchandise, that's his business, and there are three answers. Here we see the companions, another said he married a wife, he cannot come. It's our companions and our habits that ruin us. We're always responsible, no matter in what relationship we are, to do what the Word of God tells us to do. There's no excuse for any companion or any habit to interfere with what the Lord has told us to do. That's absolute. But a little different than another place. He that hateth not his father and mother, children, wife and children, cannot be my disciple. Now, he's not talking about hating in the sense we use the word hating. But it means that Christ has to be first. Never. Christ has to be first. So in the last chapter, the Lord says to him, follow thou me. He's been restored.